Thank you so much for this opportunity, and also most of all, thanks to God for his blessings in allowing us to be here and to have a wonderful time. The trip has been going wonderful. We've went to many places, and we've been looking forward to today so we can come together and being able to study and learn God's word as we try to enrich our lives each and every day. Looking and feasting, and whatever we gather, whatever we learn, we always want to make sure that we share same with others so that they too can be able to enjoy what we enjoy in having the spiritual food from God's word. We are always mindful of the fact that God has blessed us tremendously, and because of God's blessings towards us, we want to always make sure that we are grateful. We want to always make sure that we showcase that kind of life that God wants us to live in regards to his blessings that he would have extended towards you and I. Our lesson today is based upon moving forward with purpose. Moving forward with purpose. And the text that we want to use for today's discussion is from Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 21. Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 21, moving forward with purpose. As we consider our lives and we think about the title or the subject that we're going to be unraveling, unfolding today, we want to take note that the points that we're going to be looking at today is pretty much taken from the title of our lesson. But before we get to our points, let's consider the text that we have before us today in Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 21. The Bible reads, "As though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend it, that for which I am also apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the price of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you." Verse 16. "Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have before us as an ensample." Verse 18. "For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, for whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Verse 21. "Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." When we consider the passage and we consider our lives and the lesson that is before us today, we are able to realize as we think about our first point, moving, we are able to realize that sometimes in life as we move, We sometimes would say, you know what, I want to go back to square one, because as we move, sometimes things doesn't work the way we want them to work. And because it doesn't work that way, we tend to have in our mind, I want to go back to square one. But what I want to have you to do today, instead of us thinking about going back to square one, because what was done has already been done. So when we talk about going back to square one, it is not a case whereas we can undo the things that were done, but what we can do is that we can start over. But as we start over, we start with a different mindset, we have a different disposition, we have a different understanding, because now when I messed up before and I am moving now, I am moving with a different mind, with a different idea, and also with a different understanding. Hence, the messes I've made before, I can now navigate my life differently on a better spectrum or a platform. So the things that I have done before, I'm not going to get myself tangled up or tied up or caught up in those things no more, because I have a different outlook and a different perspective. That is why when we consider Philippians chapter 3, verse 12, the Bible says, not as though I have already attained, even were made perfect, but I follow. Church, once we follow, there have to be something in front of us so we can follow. You see, if I'm to follow something, there have to be a guideline. There have to be some sort of instruction. I cannot be following something when it is behind me. I follow what is ahead of me. Some persons may say, you cannot put the cart before the horse. All right, the cart always have to be behind the horse. So the cart then will go wherever the horse goes. So when we consider our lives today, we think about moving. We think about making that step. We sometimes may envision someone who is journeying, they may have a bridge to cross. We think about someone who may be relocating, and as they pack their boxes, their suitcases, whatever luggage they have, but the idea is that they are moving. Moving involves motion. It involves also something that may be animate or inanimate. It involves energy. It involves force. It involves transition. You and I are here today because we moved from our houses and we came here. All right? So it had to have involved some sort of energy, some sort of effort. We think about climbing stairs. It involves effort. It involves movement. We think about the wind. You and I are not able to see the wind, but what we see is the effects of that wind. You may look out, you may see your trees, you may see different things, whether it's your laundry or whatever it is, but things are moving, but then we don't sometimes wonder why it's moving. We know that it is some sort of breeze that is causing that to move. My question today, as we are at this juncture, is this. Do we want to move? Do we want to move? You see, I'm not quite directing you in terms of what the movements needs to be, but I'm just asking the question, you know, in a broad sense. Do you want to move? Do you want to move? Folks, we realize that When we think about movements, and we think about our lesson today, the movements that God wants us to have, and when he speaks of move, it's not a movement where we are backpedaling or backsliding. It's not a movement when we are regressing or going back to the former way of life. But when we think about moving based upon our lesson today, the movements that God wants us to have and to always live by is for us to move forward. For us to move forward. We think about the Israelites. The Israelites, they were moving. But when we think about it, in Joshua chapter 5, verse number 6, the Bible says, "For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness, till all the people that were men of war, which came out of Egypt, were consumed, because they what? They obeyed not the voice of the Lord, unto whom the Lord sware that he would not shew them the land which the Lord sware unto their fathers, that he would give us a land that what? Floweth with milk and honey." The children of Israel, they were moving. But church, they were moving in circles. They were moving in circles. There were no progression. You know, you and I are aging whether we like it or not. You and I, we are changing whether we like it or not, physically speaking. The children of Israel, they were moving too. Especially those who were murmuring, those who were complaining, they were moving in the wilderness for how long they were moving? For 40 long years. But the Bible says they moved, but they moved towards their detriment. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death, or the ways of punishment. Oh Lord, I know the ways of man is not in himself. It is not in a man that walketh to direct his own steps. So when the Israelites, they were in the wilderness wandering, they were not being directed by the will and the mind of God, but they were wandering because of their own disobedience. They were moving, but they were moving closer and closer towards destruction. You know, we may move, but then we ask the question, what are we moving to? What are we moving to? Not only there, but also in Numbers 32:13, it showcases the same idea in connection with the Israelites. You know, folks, we want to move, but we have to be careful how we move. We got to be careful how we move. One of the keynotes we want to be able to realize, point number two, not only that does God want us to move, number one, but number two, God wants us to move forward. To move forward. The Bible, it encourages us. The Bible says, looking where? Unto Jesus. Who is what? The author and finisher of our faith. He is the perfecter of our faith. So as we move, if our master, if our Lord is there for an example, and he wants us, his children, to move, and if he is our shepherd and he is leading us, as we move, we need not to move away from our shepherd, but we need to move closer unto him. So if he is moving forward, where do we need to move? We need to move forward with him, not against him. So church, today We think about the idea of forward. We think about the idea of forward. The idea of forward in the Word of God, it puts forth the idea of progress, of towards, of ahead, of what's in front. Philippians chapter 3, our text, if we look again, verse 12, it says, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already made perfect, but I follow after." How can I follow after if I am ahead of that thing? How can I follow after God if I am saying, you know what, God, I don't think this is what you mean, but I think this is it. How can I follow after if I am constantly saying, you know, this is how I want to do it, you know, let me just put the ways of God aside for a little bit, and let me just do it my way. Following after, it always suggests that there is something before us. You know, I'm not there as yet. We're not there as yet. But what do we do in verse 13? "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and doing what? Reaching forth unto those things which are before." We got to move, but we need to move forward. We press. We press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I want to suggest to us also today that not only do we move, not only should we move forward, but moving forward, it takes effort. It takes effort. You know, things may be working against us. Situations may not be the way we want them to be. But then as we press, it showcases it takes effort. That we need to be involved in what we do. It will not happen automatically that we're going to move forward, but as we have the mindset and our minds are made up that, hey, this is my position, this is my plan, and no matter what the circumstances are going to be, no matter who is against me, if God is for me, I'm going to always have the mindset that, hey, I am looking towards Jesus because he is my example. He is my perfecter. He is the author. He is the finisher of my faith. No one else but God himself. So as I move with that mindset. And I understand that, hey, God will do what he has to do, but Sheldon got to do what he has to do also. And you know what he has to do? He got to obey the boss. So God has done, he is doing, and he will continue to do. But where does that leave us? You know, God will do everything so I don't have to do anything. Is that true? We want to believe that sometimes, but if we don't press, we're going to miss out. It takes effort, church. It takes effort from all of us so that we can be able to realize that, hey, this prize, I press toward the mark for the prize of this high calling of God in Christ Jesus, realizing that it is God who has called us. It is God who has called us. It is Jesus who would have paved the way. It is said that the debt that he went through, it was not for himself. It was known as that vicarious debt. He died not because of no sins of his, not because of no flaws of his, but he died because of the flaws and the sins of the world. And where does that put us? It put us right there. You and I have been flawed, and we need a God or a Savior who was so complete and so innocent to come and died for a worldly and an untoward generation of people. So where does that put us? It put us right there. As being the people who are flawed. So, we ain't done yet. We're going to done in a few minutes, all right? So, we're moving. But my movement is having Christ before me, so I am moving closer and closer to him. Not away from him. Because my movement is now a forward movement. But point number three, we always need to make sure that we move forward with purpose. We move forward with purpose. And I can't tell you how often I would have heard Dion and also Kent. All right, in our classes, they would constantly repeat how we need to, be purposeful. You know, live a life of purpose and be purposefully driven. You know, they would have constantly mentioned that, and I don't know how much they are aware that they would mention it. So you know what happened? It stuck with me. So. In other words, it's actually a good thing because we just don't want to move. But what's your purpose? What's your purpose? Today, we think about purpose. We realize that we need to be purpose-driven. Are we living a purposeful life? Are we aware of our purpose? As our next slide will suggest, are we aware of our purpose? Does God have a purpose for me as an individual? Do we purpose to serve God? When we come together, do we come together with a purpose? Do we even know why we have to move forward with purpose? Let's consider Ezra chapter 7, verse 10. Ezra chapter 7, verse 10. The Bible says, "For Ezra had prepared or has purpose in his heart to seek the law of the Lord, and to do it, and to teach it to all Israel, the statutes and judgments." So Ezra had a purpose, and his purpose was to seek the law of the Lord and to do it so he can be able to teach it then unto the Israelites. What is our purpose? What is your purpose today? What is mine? I don't just want to be another statistic of being called a child of God because I was baptized for the remission of my sins. I want people to know me for more than that. You see, I'm not living for them, but you know what's going to happen? They will know me. Not because I was baptized yesterday or today, but because of that life that I live. I live a life of purpose. What will they say of us when we're gone? Will they say, "Sheldon, you know, that boy, he just wasted his life"? Or will they say, "Sheldon, he lived a life of purpose"? What is God seeing? What is he thinking about us today? When God looks at us, is he able to see a people who are living a life of purpose? Ezra had a purpose. Do we have a purpose? When we think about surrendering and submitting our lives into the hands of God, we are then realizing that it is no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave his life for me. It is no longer I who live, but God who resides in Sheldon's life. Is he residing in your life? So when we talk about moving forward with purpose, we are saying today that the life that we live, it is no longer live by the rudiments of my thoughts and my selfish desires and ambitions, but I am living this life and moving forward with the will of God, because it is God who lives and who breathes and who knows everything, even the thoughts of us, God knows. I know about you, but it's a scary thing, eh? You know, we're sitting beside each other right now. God knows them thoughts, eh? God knows what's going on right now in the head of ours. You know, as we conclude our lesson today, we get to our final slide. Where do we see ourselves? Where do we see ourselves? Do we see ourselves moving? And if the answer is yes, where are we moving? Do we see ourselves moving forward? And if the answer is yes, to whom are we moving forward to? Do we see ourselves living a life of purpose? Sometimes we may think, because we may be living a certain way, we may be convinced to the point of thinking, you know, it's as if I've been born to be a thief. Let's just say that. Sometimes folks may say, you know what, it's like if I've been born to be a liar. Were you born to be a liar? Were you born to be a thief? That's a choice that we have made. But individuals tend to believe that because of how involved they are in that, and sometimes because of the reassurance they are getting from others, they are believing that, hey, probably God has made me to be a thief, to be a liar. But folks, we are who we are today because of choice. We are who we are today because of choice. Make that choice today and live with or for God for how long, church? Forevermore. If your desire today is to live for God, if your desire today is to be a changed woman, to be a changed man, to be a changed individual, yes, we have messed up. Yes, we have done wrong. But you are here today and you are not a child of God. Why not surrender your life to God today? Yes, you want to get better. Yes, you want to move. But as you move, make sure that you move forward and your purpose is there, because God's desire and God's will for all of us here today is for us to be a better people. But do you want to be better? Do you desire that for yourself? Do you purpose that in your heart today? That, hey, from today onwards, from today moving forward, I'm going to be a better man, a better woman, better boy, better girl. We have to make that decision. But what about you being here today and you have given your life to God already? And you realize, well, hey, Lord, I've had enough of whatever. I want to come back home. I bet you today that the church will receive you with open arms. I will pray for you. So why do you have to put your life in jeopardy and wait longer? Why not do it right now? I believe as we stand together and sing a song of invitation.